satisfied. Amen. Do you mean it? Anyway, you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. See, some of y'all think blessings are always good stuff. But sometimes God, like a good father, got to put some training mechanisms in there. And we call sometimes trials. We call them bad stuff. But don't you know you got to have some trials if you're going to be stretched to be able to run patiently the race that's set before you. You got to have some tribulations in order to be able to distinguish the good times from the bad times. God knows what he's doing when he's sending whatever he's sending in our lives. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's trying to do something for our good that will profit us in the long run. I believe the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 12, around verse number 9 and down, it says that no chastening seems good while you're going through it. But at the end, it will bring forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Meaning at the end, you're going to be right where God wants you to be, doing what's right and being what's right in Christ Jesus. So good to have you this morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the house. So thankful for you for doing the job that you're doing, and just keep on keeping on as we're striving to be the best fathers, the best husbands, the best men we can be for the cause of Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Want to let you know also that before I get started, that Brother Veal has canceled his discipleship ministry today, meeting today at 2:30. No discipleship meeting today. He said, go and enjoy yourself, fathers and mothers, as you take care of Dad. Another thing we want to let you know is, don't forget this coming Saturday, if you looked around the building, we got a lot of work to do, a lot of cleanup work to do. So we're having our building beautification day on this coming Saturday, starting at 9 a.m. And Brother Liam Richard and Brother Greg Claiborne will come and give you some more details on that. But just get your mind ready that, remember, in the book of Hosea, God said, don't let your house be good and his house bad. God said, make sure that you, by taking care of my house, you are showing what I mean to you. You're showing that when I come here to meet my children for worship, that what you do and how things are shows how you feel about me. So when we go, just remember that God said that we got to come into his house and take care of and be good stewards of that in which he's given us. Amen. Also, don't forget about the combined worship on the next two Sundays, because it's the fourth Sunday and the fifth Sunday. We have combined worship service, no 8 o'clock service. We all be here for Bible school at 9:45 and 11 a.m. for your morning worship. Also, want to let you know that in 2 weeks we have the Mid-Atlantic Lectureship. The Mid-Atlantic Lectureship down at the BWI Airport. If there's anyone, we have been granted some free registrations. If anyone's in help to go to the lectureship, especially those who ain't been there, been to the lectureship, so you can experience, come see myself or see Sister Craig, and we will see if you qualify for getting those free passes so you can go to the lectureship. Is that all right? And we thank God that they mailed us some so we can help out to just bless God's people. Amen. And last but not least, it's so good to have my good friends from Long Island, New York, Brother Fred and Sister Caprice Brown over here. So good to have them. And Brother Brown, he's actually a respiratory therapist. That's what he does back there. He takes care of asthma and all that stuff. So if you got some, you want some tips, he right, get them right here. Get him right here. He gives some tips on how to maintain yourself, especially allergy seasons and all that stuff, because that's what he's been doing for 25 years, and that's what he does also in helping each other as we try to be difference makers in God's kingdom. Amen. I believe that's all that I have for right now. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. I wanted to sing a song, but I gotta let you guys know you're ready to get to the buffet. So we're going to get the preaching started here. All right. And Luke chapter 15, verse 25 through 27. I want you to repeat after me. Verse 25. Now his eldest son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Amen. I hope you got your pens and piece of paper. I'm about to give you some father to son teaching today. Father to son, or father to children teaching as well. First of all, we need to understand about Luke chapter number 15 is. In Luke chapter number 15, this is, I believe, God's first showing of us or demonstrating to us that he cares about both the sinners and the self-righteous folk. Okay, we call them Pharisees in the Bible. But he cares about all of his children, and he cares about them. That's number one. Because sometimes we look at the Pharisees and Sadducees as bad, 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 get them, get them, get them. But God don't see it that way. God loves his children. And he loves both the sinners and the Pharisees and Sadducees who are smelling themselves. And he loves them, and he wanted to try to bring them in to a place where he would have them to be. How this relates to up today is, I believe as God, through the Holy Spirit, sends us this message, he's also sending us this message on how us as fathers and us as parents should be able to understand the proper way that the same way he wants his son at the end of the day to be safe and sound, we should want our children at the end of the day to be safe and sound. That should be every parent's ultimate goal, that they would be safe and they would be sound. Now, when they get older, they make some decisions on their own. All you can do is be the advisor, but they're going to do what they want to do. But still in your heart, what do you want from them? To be safe and sound. No more than this father in our story today. So first of all, we have to understand when we are talking about this parable, we need to understand that God has placed within his holy word the principles and necessity of biblical discipleship. Got news for you. Father and son relationships are God's first discipling ministry. Amen. Father and son relationship, parents and children relationships are God's first discipling ministry. That's your first job. That's all, everybody who got children, that's our first job. Like it or not, that's your first job. You had them. You adopted them. You fostered them. You got a responsibility to raise them. Is that all right? That's your first. That's the first thing God is looking at right there. Now, the next thing we need to understand is that this father that's represented in this text is represented as a loving father, meaning that he is already sound himself. Okay, and anybody who studied this know this is really a representative of God. Really. But I want to bring it down a little lower and then let you know it is a representative of a sound parent, a sound father, okay, who knows what he's doing. He's going to do some things in this parable that you might not agree with, but he's going to do them because he is thinking right. He does understand what he's doing, and he understands that, and God understands that fatherhood always costs something. That's why I thank God for all fathers. And I know I'm one. I got four of them, and one of them got is 18 years apart. I think I know something. And fatherhood costs us, and I'm not saying sad about 1 ounce of resources that I spent on any of my children. Wasn't always good, but they mine. It wasn't always easy, but they mine. Why do you think God's spending all the resources he's spending on us? You think we easy to raise? You think we easy to manage as crazy as we are down here? You think we got everything? You think God don't look sometime and just say, oh my goodness, right? What was I thinking in creation? But he's God. He's a loving father. So one thing God's going to show us here is that when you look at the whole idea of raising, first of all, understand this. The Bible said in verse 11, and he said, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. The first thing you got to understand about having more than one of anything or any child is that they're different. They're not the same. They are different. And you got to approach them. If you got two, they different. If you got three, they different. If you got those who had 10, weren't they different? They different. So therefore, every father, every parent got to govern themselves that I cannot treat them exactly the same because they had their own personality, they had their own character, and they had their own individuality. They're different. They're designed different. Some of them are A students, some of them are D students. And you don't love the A more than the D. The A may not need all the help the D need, but then the D may be athletic. And the A student not. So don't make the A student a nerd. And then the D student is all your energy. That's not how this father got two sons. They got different personalities, and the Holy Spirit is going to show us that they different. Watch the text. He had two sons here. And having two sons here, first of all, the younger of them said unto him, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. So first of all, we got one son that want to leave the house. All the children don't want to stay in the house. Some of them are counting down to 18 so they can get out of there. I'm just letting you know. Now there's some, they will stay forever if you let them. They ain't going, no, you got to kick them out. That's why God made mama and daddy. Because mama got the heart. Daddy has the structure. He has the gift by God of leading this family. And that's why it's got to be mom and daddy understanding each individual child. And sometimes we got to understand with this father don't want his son to go. He know he going to get himself in some trouble. But as a father, he can't lock this boy in. This guy is representing his prosperity one day. Them children going to represent his name one day. And he wants them both to be safe and sound. So this youngster come up to him and say, give me mine. I know, you know this stuff ain't his. That's the father's stuff. The father could have easily said, you better get on my face. The father could have easily said, you leave it here with nothing. But what's the goal? To, at the end, receive them safe and sound. Y'all got that? That's an ultimate goal of fatherhood, of parenting, to receive them safe and sound. So now, he said, give me what befalls me, and he goes away out into a far country. Y'all know why he left, right? He left because he didn't want to be under the influence of them no more. He ain't want dad telling him what to do. He ain't want dad, mom telling him what to do. Since there's no mom here, he ain't want dad telling him what to do. I'm an old man now. Understand in the text, this father knows that this boy gonna go out here and get himself in some trouble. But he realizes at the same time that he has the responsibility of a father to allow him to stumble sometime. Because it's better to let him stumble while you're still around. Oh. Then to let him stumble when you can't help him no more. It's better to let him stumble while you're still here. So you can give him some help when they need it. The next thing you need to understand is that in verse 25 in our text, he got another boy. And this other boy that he have in verse number 25 is not like the one in the beginning in verse 11 and 12 and 13. This young man here, in his mind, and let me read it for you. Now the elder son was in the field and he came and drew. Now let's get down to verse number 27. Tell my older son. And he said to him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, and came he and he had calf, and received him safe and sound. And 28, and he was angry. And he said, I'm not going in there. Why? He said, I'm not going in there because this don't make no sense. That's his mindset. This don't make no sense. He don't understand. That could have been him. He don't understand he being self-righteous. He don't understand that he's lacking compassion. And he's not going to make a good father unless his father get him straight. Oh, y'all don't hear me. God put both sons, different personalities, in the right order for this father. Watch the text. Now, the next text says this. When you look down here at verse number 12, it goes down to verse number 13, it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, meaning he didn't leave right away, but a few days later. Can you see the posture of the father while he watched this boy go down to the bank, take out a whole bunch of his money? Can you see him watching his son proud as a peacock? Walk around the house like he's somebody. I'm getting out of here. I can't wait to go. And when I go, I ain't looking behind me. Sometimes in fatherhood, we have children that don't want you to tell them anything. That's just their personality. They already know. They 14 and they know everything. And it's up to fatherhood to, like here, to give him a little bit of rope. Yeah. Don't try to stop everything. Y'all ain't got it. Y'all ain't got it yet. Y'all ain't got it yet. If they, when they get 13 and 14 and they want to go round the corner to Mike's party, check it out. Make sure they ain't got no reefer and alcohol and all that stuff. But if they just going to be doing what the kids do, partying with girls around, let them go. Why? Because if you don't let them go now, if this father didn't let this boy go now, he going to go after he's gone, and he ain't going to have nobody to come back to. But let him go now so he can go and get it out of his system. Sometimes we as parents, if we don't let the children get it out of their system while we are here, then it's going to lead to some problems. So we have to make sure we give them enough. God, do you know God give us just enough rope for us to fall to our knees and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven. He always gives you just enough. And we as fathers have to do the same thing to the children. Watch the text. Watch the text. Y'all ain't got it yet. I've got your story. I let Aaron stay after school one day, and she's at school, and it's late. I let her stay after school, have a little fun, but it's getting late. Well, my wife tells me that I sense things, and I do. Amen. And I sense something strange going on. Amen. So as a father, I ain't feel like going up to school. I'm like the rest of y'all fathers. I'm down here, man, Kobe Bryant doing his thing, or you know, Peyton Manning or Brady, whatever else, but I gotta go. I get up, I go to the school. I walk in the school. I'm gonna walk in the school and get past the door. There is this group of kids on the side here, and Eric, my baby, is hugged up. Under some boy. And the boy is sitting there playing it. And I'm watching. I'm about right here watching. These friends can see me, but they can't. And she's one of them. I'm watching. Not my baby. Then all of a sudden, she's standing. All of a sudden, the little boy said, no, no, no. She said, you better plant one right here. Not my baby. No. So what did dad do? A good father. I ain't saying nothing, I just step, boom, boom, but she can see me. She don't even see me. She's dealing with this joker, got all hooked up. And I'm just standing there. Finally, her friend next to her saw me. And you know how they partner together. And she said, I don't know, you know, 5-0, something, I don't know. And she turns around and she sees me. Then all of a sudden, she jumps back. And I just stand there. Because sometimes don't say nothing. Just your presence, dads, fathers, we are men. And God has wired us where our presence many times is enough. Especially when we put on our father face. And I had mine on. She jumped up. All I did was say, and I begin to walk. And she know you better be two steps behind me. And I begin to walk out the building. And we got in the car. Got in the car, she crying. You know the acting job. Daddy, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Well, I ain't do nothing. We just sat down. I ain't do nothing. We was hugging. I said, let me tell you this. If you ever, and you and I, you know, we dark skinned people. For as long as you stay dark skinned, don't let me catch that again. And then I had to say, you think I don't know what's going on. You better call Erica and ask her, am I a detective? You better call Eric, ask, am I a detective? And you better call down Virginia Beach and ask Ian, am I a detective? And you better go ask Sam, am I a detective? Well, I tell you what, after, I don't know if she made that phone call, but she sure enough believed me. Because then I begin to put faith, two of the plan in action. To verify phase one. Oh, y'all ain't got it yet. This father in this text, sending this boy out, knows what the outcome going to be. He already knows this. You know your children. You know who's who, and you know what's what. Watch the text. It said here, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. That means he party hardy. That means he sure enough got down. Riotous living. Did the father know there was going to be some riotous living? Yes, he did. Because we have to understand, number one, a father needs to be ready for each stage of development, including the arrogant ones. Fathers, we got to be ready. Let me break this down. Mamas, I thank God for every mother. Because you got the heart, and it is clear that them children connect with your heart. See, but fathers, we need respect first. You got to respect first. We got the heart, but it's deep. It's in there. It's in there. And it will come out when needed. But the first thing is the respect. And from a respect standpoint is we need as fathers to set boundaries to be able to help our children to be safe and sound. And sometimes, mama, don't mess up our plan. I know you mama, you might not even like the plan. I know sometimes we come up with some crazy stuff. But we got it figured out in our mind. We going somewhere. And just like we trusted you, trust us. Oh, watch the text. The text says here, listen. And when he spent all, when he had spent everything. See, that's the turning point right there. See, one thing you got to understand about the first discipleship is when we are discipling somebody, we have to be in a situation where we connect with one another and we're not afraid when we need advice to ask for advice. That's discipling. And what's going to happen to this young man is he goes out, he spends all that he has, and then here come God. Then arose a mighty famine in the land, meaning no food. No resources. He ain't got no money and ain't nothing growing on no trees. He's in trouble. I know that. That's right. Hedge friends left him. That's right. He alone. He by himself. What do you do? What do you want from your child when they're in that situation? Mom and dad always put them in a situation where they can call home. My Lord. I know they grown, but they need advice. Sometimes they don't know what they don't know. Remember when we didn't know what we didn't know? When me and Sister Bethia got married at 19, I did not know. And she did not know anything about getting married. Only thing we know was I'm going in the service. I don't want no other boy to have her. So I'm going to marry her and she coming with me. I must be out of my mind. I did not know that's not the way it's done. But time taught me. Time gave experience. Watch this, Father. Listen, he spent all that he had. There's a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be at one. Did anywhere in the text do it say, and the Father went looking for him? No. Because our children many times aren't ready until they're ready. Amen. They're not ready until they go through some stuff. Sometimes it's got to get real hot in order for them to go through some stuff. And his father knows that. So what does he do here? The Bible says here, this son, and he went and joined himself unto some citizen of the country, and he sent him unto the field to feed swine. He lower other Jews don't mess with swine. But he found himself doing the one thing that he thought he never, whatever the one thing you would say you would never do. Many times life will have you right in that situation. And our children are the same way. Don't worry about a child when they so mad and say, oh, I don't need nothing. I ain't never going to call you. No, just smile. Don't fight with them. Don't aggravate them. Don't go back and forth. You gonna need me. Oh, you gonna need me. Oh, you gonna need me. You better not never. No. Because you don't mean all that either. Just be patient and just smile. And I don't need this. And I don't need that. And I don't need that. And I ain't calling you. I'm gone. Let them go. So you got everything? Let them go. Why? Because in this life, you're always going to need to come back. Watch the text. I don't know if the boy wanted to come back, but watch the text. Here's what the text says in 18. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him anything. Meaning, I'm so hungry, he will eat anything. Because nobody gave him nothing. 17, and when he came, and listen, and I can see him now. He was just about to do what he thought he never would do. And that is eat the pig from the trough. Thought he'd never do that. See, y'all don't understand because y'all don't know pigs. Farmers in here know pigs. Thank you. He know them. Anything, you can put anything in that pig trough. Anything. You can cut up anything. Chicken gizzards, hog maws, anything. Blood pudding, anything. Dead roaches, dead spiders, dead ants, dead rats, dead raccoon, anything. If you go in there, that pig will have a delicacy. And now this young boy is right here, forced to eat from this stuff the swine can eat from. But something happened. Fathers, moms, like God in heaven, God waits for stuff to happen to us. So don't ever be afraid to fall on your knees before God because of hard times. Let me say it again. I got to say this again. It is not a bad thing when God forces you to fall on your knees because of hard times, because that puts you now in a place where you can receive some help from him. Amen. Called a heart of repentance. Same thing with our children. This son came to himself. He was sitting there about to eat. He got to thinking. He said, my father. Y'all reading that in verse number 17? And when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with this hunger. Listen. This young son was finished with being selfish, being about himself, and he needed to learn the consequences of brokenness. This father had to teach his son about the process. Hear me. Our children have to be taught through us as parents the process of responsibility and accountability. That's what fathers are there for. Responsibility and accountability. I know we got away from making our children do stuff around the house they need to do. Because I'm going to make her, she can wash the dishes. She's 6, she can't wash the dishes. She's 7, she can't wash the dishes. She's 10, she can't wash the dishes. She's 12, she can't wash the dishes. She's 15, she can't wash the dishes. She's 16, I don't like the way she washed the dishes. She's 17, like she can't wash the dishes. She's 18, she can't wash the dishes. She's 10, she can't do her own clothes. She's 11, she can't do her own clothes. She's 12, she can't do her own clothes. She's 25, she can't do her own clothes. Oh, that means that when she leaves or when he leaves, they are unprepared for life. Oh, Lord, have mercy. They are unprepared for accountability and responsibility, responsibility and accountability. And when I'm on that street, and don't be afraid to take stuff from them that's dear to them. Listen, mom, you might not. Listen, mom, you, mom, they walking around. They got the phone stuck to the ear. And they walking around. And all they're on the phone, 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 on the phone. Don't be mad if dad happened to be there watching and something snapped at him. And he just like, no. No. And you think he crazy. Oh, what happened? Give me that phone. And then you saying, Well, why are you taking the phone? What'd he do? God has laid something on his heart.
Right.
There are two parents. And he feels as though I need to take this phone right now. So when he goes and give me the phone, and you know how children do, they play us. They look at dad like he crazy, huh? Then they look back at mama.
Yeah. All right.
Because basically what they're saying is, are you going to let him do this? That's why we crazy as beanbags. Give me the phone. In my house, give me the phone. They look back at mom, I look at it too. Don't get it. I don't get in yours. Don't get in this. Accountability and responsibility. They got to learn. They have to understand. Listen, and not just phones. Anything that you think they're doing too much.
Yeah.
Children today, you and I had to go to bed at 10 o'clock at night when we was sophomores. Now they think they can stay till 1 in the morning. We don't care. We like, long as you don't knock on my door. No. Lord have mercy. Listen, also understand this. In the process of time, children must be trained for the reality that things always change. Because if not, if they always have, you know how they can act when they don't get? Crazy. Because they're used to having. Sometimes I believe, this is me, this has been one of my psychology habits. I believe sometimes you just got to tell them no just because it's the right time to say no. Just to teach them that no's okay. Can I have some? Can I have some? Yes, 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 no. Shock them. No. Oh, 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 no. See, they need it. Because he said, I'm almost done. Listen, now you shocked. They acting like that when you shouldn't be shocked. You shocked. They going through the cereal aisle, tearing all the boxes all off the cereal. Come here, little Johnny. Stop, 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 stop. Don't do it in public. Don't do it. Whatever you're going to do, take them to the bathroom or something. Don't. But take care of business. See, some of y'all there saying, oh, I knew he was going there. No, see, he didn't even start with the timeout first. No, I didn't. If you want to do that, you can do that. But when I tell them, don't go in that street, they ain't going in that street. Watch the text. All this I'm telling you is father to son. This Father's Day, I'm talking to the fathers. And little moms in there, but fathers. And I'm saying father to son, this is how this acts. Now, let me say this. And to enter, listen, you want them to be safe and sound. Now, I'm not talking about those who we push and provoke when we know that they ain't able. I ain't talking about that. I ain't talking about picking on folk. I'm talking about safe and sound from a loving father who will do what they need to do in order to deliver their children safe and sound. Watch the text. I'm almost done. Watch the text. Then here, when you look at the text, you have to understand this as well. This son, right here, 17, it says here, I will have 18, and I will arise, and I will go to my father. Y'all hear that? The father made it so that he thought that I can come back home. The father, our heavenly father makes it so that no matter what we, no matter how broken we get, ain't that good news? No matter how messed up we get, we can always go back home. What a mighty God. Listen, 18. I will rise and I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. 19. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the highest servants. This son eventually realized the wisdom of his father. How do I know? He said, my father got stuff and to spare. That means my father's a good steward. My father know how to take care of stuff. That's why a lot of times, listen, a lot of times mom and dad, they take care of business right, they do business, and they got three cars. See, the child shouldn't think one of them his.
I know that's right.
They shouldn't think one of them theirs. I know y'all see Iron driving around that little gray car. My name on that car. She has no right to come to me and say, what about my car? You ain't got a car. I gave you permission to drive my car. Why is that? Because I want her to understand, like you want your children to understand. I need her to be living safe and sound to realize if your name on it, you got to put something to it. Y'all ain't got it. Some of y'all got it, but some Abraham got it. Do you treat a rental car like you do your own car? No. It's a rental car. You drive it all crazy and stuff. You know, you check out the motor. It's a rental car. If it break down, you call the rental people and you say, it broke down, send me another one. It's a rental car. But your own car, you try to treat it better because it's your car. When you hear something, you go take it and see what you're hearing because it's your car. And that's the benefit from father to son is when this son comes to himself, something clicked in him about his father. And his father having the benefit or the ability to help him. Now watch this. We're talking about a father stewardship. So the son goes back to the house. Now when the son goes back to the house, I'm almost finished. Now he got another crazy son at the house. They different. And this son at the house right now appears to me in verse 25. Now the elder son was in the field, and when he came and drew nigh to the house and heard the music and the dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked him, what's going on? And he said, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf because he had received them safe and sound. This son, his personality is, you know how sibling rivalries are. His mindset is, no. What? What? Because in his mind, he need to get him. He need to be out there with the hogs. He need to be out there with nothing. That's the son. Why? It is because sometimes we don't realize, and siblings, I want y'all to listen to this too. Brothers and sisters are different. We're not the same. We love each other, but we're different. That's why when brothers and sisters, sometimes when they go away, they see each other Mother's Day, Christmas. I want to say Father's Day, but they don't come always come on Father's Day. Mother's Day and Christmas, they see each other. Sometimes. Because they live in different states now. They got their own lives and stuff like that. They're family, but they've been trained and they flew away. But even when they're 17 and 16 and 15, they're different. And sometimes we can have one child that is jealous of the other child. That's real. A loving father needs to be ready to deal with that while they are alive and do it in a loving way. This boy had no right to be making this fuss. That stuff ain't his either. He's going to get 2/3 of it. He's the oldest child. But right now, it ain't his. But he's acting like this guy's been in my stuff. He got his inheritance. Give me my inheritance. My Lord, should I say this? I better read it in the Bible first. It says here in verse number 28, and he is angry, and he's so angry, he ain't going in the house. I'm not celebrating with him. Therefore, a loving father does what? He go to him. Father ain't got to go to the father. Say, I don't care if you come in here or not. But a loving father, that's like God. Sometimes we get crazy. We won't come to God. God come to us. Whisper through his spirit in our heart. And your conscience saying, you know you're wrong. You know you're wrong. And you're mad because some scripture popping up in your mind. That's God. You know you're wrong. This father comes to this son. And I love it when he comes to this son. Because he comes to this son. Watch the text now. The Bible says here in verse 29. And he answered and said to his father. Because remember, the father came and called him. He said, come here, son. 29. And when he answered, said to the father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Neither transgresseth I at any time thy commandments. And yet you never gave me a kid. Well, you got 2/3 of my inheritance. A kid. Everything belongs to you. You are the oldest son. You are the heir to everything I got. The older son was self-righteous. He would lack compassion. And again and again and again, when the father came out to his loving son, he tried to reason with him first. Tried to help him to understand that the position you're taking is not right. What are you saying to fathers? Fathers, when your children grow old, they're not little boys anymore. Now we got to treat them father to son, but also man to man. And we got to sit them down as men and talk to them as men, but maintain we keep the respect as father and son. That makes sense? Amen. Keep the respect of father and son, but talk to them man to man. I'll give you an example. I went down Virginia Beach and I wanted my son, because he's in the military, to give me some of his military discount. Okay. And to the hotel, and call the hotel and get the military discount. My son says, I'm not available to do that at this time. Now, wait a minute, because my children are respectful. He said it, he didn't say it like I just said it. He said it respectfully. Let me say it like he said. Dad, I'm not able to do it right now. I'm not in a position to do it right now. I said, first the hair stood up on the back of my neck. I said, okay. Because you know how fathers, we can be crazy. Now, is he saying he ain't doing it? Or is he being smart? I'm not available to do it at this time. Then we reasoned. And in reasoning, and I didn't go back to the issue. I just said, Pop, boy, I wanted to get that discount. I'm sorry you wasn't available at that time. He said, yeah, Dad, I was driving on the road. And we were on 85 on the long highways in the military cars. And I can't be playing around renting a hotel room. I'm in the military car. And I said, you know what? You know, your mind get crazy sometimes. I thought you wasn't able to do it because you ran out of discount space for old Papa Bear. See, you had to give him the man. I ain't come at him like, you better give me your military. No, he was a man. You can't come at him like that. You raised him already. You can't raise the children twice. Don't try to raise them. When you raise them, and let me say this, because it's free. It's free. That's why I know y'all looking at the, no, ain't nobody looking at the clock. Y'all in this sermon. So here we go. That's why it comes a time where if the children grow up and when they get around 20-ish, they begin to, they kind of reach their peak where they need now to go experience life. Now to hold on to them, you're hurting them now. Because now what's happening is they're not getting the opportunity to go and experience life. Now, again, I'm not talking about nobody who's sick and all that. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about a healthy individual who just want to hang in the basement. I'm talking about him. I'm talking about a healthy young lady who want to put all her money in the bank, and you struggling with the gas and electric, you struggling with the telephone bill, you struggling with paying the house note, you struggling with the water bill, and she just piling this money on because the room is free. I'm talking about those two. And they are the ones that we have to understand, you can't raise them twice. They have to understand. See, with her, what she's not understanding is, you got to pay for this stuff. I had to pay for you when you was 15. You ain't 15 no more. You 23. You got some money. Give me some money. And what son's problem is, son don't want to leave. Everything is cool. Mama making the food good. Everything is good. He want to stay. Watch the text. I'm closing out with this text. Watch this. Well, not with this text. Two more texts. Here we go. Got to be honest with you. Here we go. He said, you never even gave me a kid. And this son, this older son, he's not telling the truth. And what we have to understand is this father now has to be patient and help his older son to learn compassion and restoration. That's his job, because that's part of the safe and sound. That's part of the sound. He has to learn. Come, all the fathers, let me tell you too. Fathers, we can't be so hard until we don't recognize that God gave us a wife for the heart part. We can't be so hard. But wives can't be so hard where they won't let father do the job God has assigned him to do. It has to be a balanced thing right there. And what happens is that sometimes when you look at this particular text, this individual in which we have to learn is he has to learn compassion. And he has to, and let me say this too, because all is free. That's why fathers tell your little daughter she's pretty.
Amen.
Tell your little daughter she's special.
Yeah.
Tell your little daughter that you love her. The reason you have to do that is because daughters get their femininity from their fathers. Oh. They get it from their fathers. They get, when father is reinforcing this, they say, no, they're getting all that from daddy. Daddy, how I look. You gotta say, girl, you look good. They need that. And mothers, when son's too much under you, they're learning too much of the feminine side from you. Push them to the daddy. Y'all don't hear me. Push them. To the daddy. Because boys, it's mom and boys. I'm just sitting there like, really? But I understand. Mama boys. And one thing, give my wife credit. She would push those boys to me. Get away with your father. Go out with your father. Go rake the yard with your father. They don't want to do that, but she meant, because why? Because I'm waiting for them with two rakes. This father is trying to reason with this older boy to let him know you ain't thinking right. In verse now, number 30, he said, hey, because the boy complaining, I ain't got nothing, I ain't got no friends, you ain't gave me no lamb and all this stuff. Pity party. 30, but as soon, but as soon as thy son, not my brother, your son was come, which hath devoured all your living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fattest calf. He done messed you around and you doing stuff for him. What this father is going to try to let this boy see is y'all are different. Y'all are different. You stay home. Yes, you've always obeyed me. But I haven't told you about your arrogant side. I haven't told you about your lack of compassion side. I haven't told you about all that stuff. Because you have done a good job, but you're not innocent. Who is this? In the Bible, who is representative of this older son? The Pharisees. and the Sadducees, who think they're so holy and so righteous and so godly, and the Father telling them, you are selfish, you are proud, you are arrogant, and you don't keep the law either. That's this older son. But the Father reasons. God loved the Pharisees. He's reasoning with them. He's trying to help them out. Now, verse 30, and the Father said, verse 31, and he said unto him, son, oh, that is so big. Because us men today, well, me, I'd be like, I will knock you out. Don't you come at me. But I'd be wrong. I'd be wrong. I love what God is teaching me here. God is still, no matter what the relationship is, you treat him like a son. Because I told you the way you treat other folk is going to be the way I treat you. Treat him like, I know he ain't talking right, I know he ain't acting right, but treat him like a son. He said, son. He said, son, thou art ever with me. I mean, you will always be my child. You are always. Y'all hear that? Dad, you hear that? You will always. Our kids can get knuckleheaded, but let your children know they're always your children. Mom, let them know they're always your children. He said, son, thou art always with me, and all that I have belong to you. I'm almost done. Our children should be the type of people that can call us day or night.
Amen.
Can we call our Heavenly Father day or night?
Amen.
Day or night. He says here, 30 and 32, it was right. It was fitting. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For this thou, bro, he's your brother. Stop with he's my son. He's your brother. And he was dead. And now he's alive. He was lost. But now he's found. You notice that the text, the parable ends right there. Because once you lay all this on people's hearts, as Jesus did with the crowd, it's really up to the crowd to understand the parable. It's up to them to understand the meaning. I've made the meaning clear to you this morning. I want to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And may we use this parable to realize what you've learned today, that our children are different. We got to be loving fathers. We got to teach them responsibility and accountability. We got to make sure that they understand or have opportunity to give them some rope so we can be there to bring them back. But most of all, we want to deliver them how? Safe and sound. That's the ultimate goal. God bless you. If you're out there and you're subject to the Savior's invitation, here's what you need to do. The Father, your Father's waiting on you right now. He wants you to hear his word. Y'all hear that? That story says our God is a loving Father. He wants you to hear his word, believe his word, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and get yourself baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And if you do that, God will save your soul. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And then when you rise up to walk in the newness of life. As we leave this building today, we serve a God that's a wonderful God.
Yes.
Mamas, the children took care of you on Mother's Day. Today is Dad's Day.
Amen.
Let Dad have his day.
Amen.
And guess what? And the family will be blessed because of it.
Amen.
If you're out there and you're subject to the Savior's invitation, the water's ready, heaven's ready, the angel's ready. Are you ready? And if you are ready, come right now as we all stand and sing the hymn of invitation to give somebody out there who need God as their heavenly Father to come forth and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's me.
But Since today is Father's Day, you know what your Heavenly Father would want for anyone that's still in sin? Mm. He would want you to come to him and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You're talking about a Father's Day present to your Heavenly Father.
Amen.
It is to make a decision for him this day that I believe his word and I will be baptized in his name. Can you imagine? The Bible says that the angels rejoice. If the angels rejoice, we know the Father's rejoicing.
Amen.
At one lost soul that repents and comes back to the Father.
Yes.
This young man in our story, he came home and was receiving open arms. God wants to receive you
Amen.
With open arms as well.
Amen.
So if you're out there and you're subject to the Savior's invitation, won't you come right now? Right now. Because it's Father's Day for our Father which is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And bless him by giving your life to him.
Yes.
And being with him in fellowship. God is good. God loves you. Let's sing one more stanza.
I'm calling you,
say bye. May God bless your father to son.